It's interesting to have you again with us, because in my opinion, and I believe in God's opinion, you folks are the legacy of your grandmother and your grandfather right here in Myrtle Creek. Because I spoke with her last week, or the week before actually, and we talked about the time that she had spent in prayer over this city, and to see what God's doing, and her prayers are still being answered, and they're still being answered in your life, and in your life, and in what God's doing in your family through JuveNet, touching young people in Guatemala. And so, brother, I'm thrilled to death that you called, and that we can just have you in this pulpit today. So take whatever time you need. Amen.
All right, thank you.
Darren and Mariah Curl right here.
Thank you, Pastor. I'm going to let Mariah share a little bit. Can we use that mic? Is that all right?
$5 charge on
that. All right.
Will do.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. Good morning. Can everybody hear me? Absolutely. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here, to spend this time with you guys. Like Pastor Shane said, I come from the Basil family, as some of you may know, or the Curl family. David and Retta Curl are my parents. So this area, Myrtle Creek, just as you mentioned, the prayers that are going through. I remember running around the city as a kid, as a young boy, you know, 5 years old, 8 years old, running, riding bikes down all the streets, playing in the parks. And so driving through this morning was such an awesome experience, being able to see those again. I think it's been three and a half years since we were here last. And yeah. So it's such a joy to be back. It always is a joy to come back. And every time we come back, we seem to have another baby. So I don't know how long we can sustain that for, but hopefully not too much longer. But it is such a pleasure to be here. My name is Darren Curl. I grew up on the mission field in Zimbabwe. My parents were missionaries there for 20 years, and my grandfather was a missionary there for 50 years. And so I was born and raised there. Then we came over to the United States, and we originally moved to Coos Bay because my mother was from that area in Myrtle Creek, Myrtle Point, and spent time in Coos Bay. And so she was from this area. And so we moved there originally. And then from there, I went up to Vancouver, Washington, where I met Mariah. And so this is Mariah. She's my wife of 6 years. I almost said seven, because I'd rather be over than under, for sure. But wife of 6 years, we met in Washington at a church camp that my mother went to as a child. My mother, coming from this area, went to church camp and grew up and went there, and then that's where we met. And so we got married, and so after that, traveled out to Utah. We moved to Utah originally to be a part of JuveNet International, the ministry that Pastor touched on. It's an incredible ministry led by Caleb and Alyssa Mooney. Please receive a big hello and some hugs from them this morning. We come on behalf of them all the time, no matter where we go. They are the presidents and founders of JuveNet International. Many years ago, they decided that, well, they heard from the Lord that they needed to be a part of something that is going to reach the next generation and build up an army throughout many areas. Come on, Bubba's. And so, while we have both kids up here, I want to introduce them.
No, Dad, what's up? I want to go potty.
Oh, got to go potty? All right. This is Ezra. Can you say hi?
Hi.
This is Ezra. Last time we were here, I think she was pregnant. So now we have this young kid. Do you want to go with Mommy for a second?
Yes.
And this is Cohen. He's our new... This is Cohen. He's our new one. He was born a couple months ago, about 6 months. He's 6 months old. And so he's been a joy to our family as well. And so that's what we've been up to the last couple months, hanging out with this new boy. But Caleb and Alyssa are the presidents of JuveNet. They started it many years ago. And so we moved to Utah to be a part of that with them, to start training, discipling with them, learning what it takes to do missions. You know, I grew up in it my whole life, but as a married couple and as a young adult, when you make it your own, it's completely different. And so I had to relearn how to do missions in the way that they did. And so a big part of JuveNet International is missions trips. So we, as a team, host missions trips from churches just like this one. You know, a church comes to me and they're like, hey, I have 10 people, I have 15 people, I have 50 people that want to go and be a part of a missions trip. Can we come with you guys? And so we'll connect with that church and we'll connect with those people and we'll start, they'll start fundraising and they'll start getting things together. You know, they'll pick a country, Costa Rica, Guatemala, El Salvador, Panama, all sorts of, I think there's 11 or 12 countries that we work in. My wife and I mainly focus on Guatemala, El Salvador, Costa Rica. Those are kind of our focus countries. And so we'll connect with that pastor and that church will come down for a week of missions and spend time with us. We'll be there in the country to receive them, to host them, to kind of be their missions guides, tour guides, you know, walk them through the different projects. And so during a week of missions, there's many things that we will do. For the most part, we will build a home for a widow and her kids. There's a lot of single moms in Guatemala. There's a lot of people that do not have homes. And so we'll come in as a team and build a home for her and her kiddos. We'll also go out and minister in schools and spread the gospel in schools with the next generation, as that is our main focus. We'll also visit orphanages and love on kids, disabled and regular, that just need a little bit of love. We do food distribution where we go into homes and we visit with families and we share the gospel that way. And we've been doing that for about 8 years now, that we've been leading teams and doing that. In the last 4.5 years, we have been living full-time in Guatemala. We've been doing that, and we've had an amazing couple of years. We just got off of our summer this year. May, June, July, August is our busy season. It's what we call our summer. That's when we have the majority of our teams and the majority of what we do. But I'm going to let Mariah share more about what we got up to this summer while I hold the baby.
Yes. Thank you. Sorry. Duty calls sometimes. As Darren shared, we hosted this year about 10 teams. We still have one to go at the end of the year within Covenant. We had 3 interns with us. I don't know if he shared about that already, but one of the programs that Darren and I help with within Covenant is our internship program for those young people that feel called, that have a calling to missions, that want to apply it and learn and then hopefully eventually move down onto the mission field. And so we have the beautiful setup within Covenant and Grace International that we have a network of churches all over Latin America, not just Guatemala. And so we travel around all the time and have national leaders and pastors, churches in every one of those countries. I think it's over 12 countries now and over 600 youth ministries. And so our goal is to get those young people called to missions plugged in with a local pastor. And so one of the biggest wins this summer was that the 3 interns we had with us, they were all repeat and return interns. They all next year want to move down as full-time Covenant missionaries, which is amazing because since then, Darren and I have been the first within Grace International. And so we are so, so grateful to have kind of reproduced ourselves, which is our calling in the ministry, right? As Christians, right? Our commission is to go and make disciples of all the nations. And so we're so honored that we get to pour into young lives and that God has called us to do that. We hosted nearly 175 people in those missions teams. We built 3 homes for families in need, and we reached multiple thousands just within the last 4 or 5 months. Multiple thousands heard the gospel, heard about salvation, and of those, hundreds came to know Christ for the first time. We have all of these projects ongoing throughout the year, but one of the biggest ones is our Education for All program. Where we partner with a school that educates working children. A lot of times in these countries, there's not enough money to go around for the whole family. And so an education isn't free in Guatemala specifically. And so a lot of times they'll pick one child within the family that they'll sponsor and go to school. And the rest of the kids end up having to work for the family. And so we have a school that started educating once or twice a week. We have these kids come to school, and they actually get paid to come to school. And not just that, they're learning, growing, starting to dream about their future beyond what they've been, all they've known, starting to dream about having jobs as lawyers and doctors and teachers, and it's incredible. It's incredible to see. But we're also teaching them trades to raise money for their families and things like that. So, but we just had such an incredible summer. We saw, I could go on and on telling you about the people healed, the people saved, just miracle after miracle after miracle. But just want you to know that God is alive and living and breathing and doing. He is doing. He's working. And we just get to see a fraction of it. But we're so honored that we get to be vessels of that power, right? And we couldn't do that without people like you equipping and supporting and praying for us. And so thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your prayers, for your support. We couldn't do any of it without you. But I know Darren has a powerful word that the Lord has laid on his heart. And so I'm excited for you guys to be blessed by that this morning. Thank you for having us.
Amen. Sorry, let me fix this here. Life with kiddos is something that we are still getting used to. I will say, traveling with one kid is easy. When you have one child, traveling is relatively easy. Hosting mission trips is easy. You can kind of like hand them off, okay? Mariah's turn to talk, I'll take the baby. My turn to talk, you know, Mariah has the baby. Two kids is totally different. The whole summer we had Ezra, 3 years old, Cohen, a couple months old, and it was completely different and completely challenging in ways that I couldn't even have imagined it would be. And so someone once told me, though, the third kid makes it all easier. So I have no idea if that is true or not, but so far the two kids is not easier whatsoever. It is really challenging. I'm super excited today to be able to share with you guys not only a little bit about the summer and about what we do in Guatemala, the time that we've spent there, but a little bit of the Word. Are we ready this morning to hear a little bit of the Word of God? Yeah. Ready, willing to just receive. That is my prayer every time that I have the opportunity, the blessing to come into a family, into a home like this. I just am so excited to hopefully share what God has for us this morning, and perspectives and different thoughts. And so I get to preach on what I want today, and Pastor Shane gets to clean up next Sunday from what I have to say. But I'm excited, and so let's pray, and then we'll jump into the Word. All right? Lord, we love you this morning. We are so excited and ready to be here. Holy Spirit, we invite you to fall. Continue to open our hearts. Continue to open our minds. Continue to just show yourself true and faithful to us as you have been doing all day and as you have done, Father. We love you. We trust you. We honor you this morning. Let these words be yours. Let our heart connect with your heart this morning. Let us see your face in some way, God, that it might change us, that it might do something inside of us as we open up your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Something that happened on our very last trip was an amazing testimony, an amazing moment that I want to share, and then I'm going to jump into the Word. Our last trip that we had was 51 people that came down from a church in Texas. We split up into three. We had one team expanding a church by 20 feet, which is what you guys are doing here, as you're going to go and build a new building. I'm going to say it's completely necessary because it's obvious that we don't fit in this space, that you guys don't fit in this space. So I'm excited to come back next time and be in that building, sharing and connecting with you guys. I believe that God is going to continue to provide for you in that way. Every dream, every hope, every aspiration that you guys have as a family, I believe that God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, they want to come in and connect with you guys and make that dream on that board a reality in the next couple of years, sooner, I believe, than what you guys have in mind. Amen? So we had one team doing that. We expanded a church by 20 feet. We knocked out the back wall and we built more walls and we built new back and we expanded it out. We had another third of that team visiting schools, ministering to children, the next generation, preaching, saving the lives of young kids. We had another third of that team doing a medical ministry. They would come into churches, they put up little shops, they had doctors and nurses on hand. And so we were able to medically minister and help, physically help hundreds of people that came through the doors. And on our last Sunday service there, we were all together and we were dancing and worshiping and praise. I was actually outside with Ezra taking him potty. That's what I was doing. So I was outside and all of a sudden I just hear the building explode and people start clapping and dancing and yelling. And I'm just like, I just missed something big. So I went running inside and I was like, what's going on? What's going on? And then I, from a couple people, heard that lady was just healed. That lady was just healed.
Glory.
And so I learned more about it. And what happened was one of our young interns, her name is Kaylee, she felt from the Lord just this, like, this need to go and be next to this lady. Remove this up a bit. Is that better? She felt this need to go and be next to this little old lady. And so as this little lady was in worship at the pulpit, she was kind of hunched over and her arms couldn't get up very high and she was trying to worship. And Kaylee went over there and felt that the Lord wanted to heal her. And so she began to just speak life and pour into this lady and learn that it hurt to breathe for her. It hurt to take a breath. Her lungs, her back, the issues that she was having were extremely painful and it was limiting her from expressing the worship and the way in which she wanted to. And so Kaylee went over and prayed for her. And in that moment, the Lord healed her. She stood up straight. She put her hands up in the air and she started dancing more than anybody in the whole auditorium. She was completely healed. She was completely healed in that moment, and I was just couldn't believe it, and I was so excited, bummed I missed out on it. I wasn't able to be there, but I was there in spirit anyway, and so we celebrated that with her. And this summer was an interesting one for us. Like I just expressed, it was hard to travel with kids. There were things going on. We were doing amazing things, but it was challenging in a lot of ways. The last couple years in Guatemala have been challenging. You know, we moved down there as two young kids, you know, no money, no idea what we're doing, just some connections with Juvenet, the general direction, but the day-to-day, no idea what we were doing. It took a while to get into that place of faith, of trust, of belief, of just finding the Lord. Last time we were here, I believe we were pregnant with Ezra. For example, when Ezra was about to be born, they told us, hey, it's like $1,500 that you need for the birth, which is super cheap compared to the U.S. But we're in Guatemala and we have no money. And so it was a moment in which we were like, all right, I have no idea what's going to happen right now. No idea. And while we were here in the U.S., God put a name on my heart. And I went up to that gentleman and I said, hey, well, we just love to talk to you about some things. And he stopped me and he said, the Lord already spoke to me. He pulled out the check. Here's the full amount for the birth of the baby. Just a complete miracle. And we experienced various things like that over the course of the last 4 years. And this summer as well, financially, was super challenging. And you got to a place, a unique place for me. And I want to share a little bit about that this morning. I want to ask and I want to think a little bit. What if we believed every word of the Bible?
Come on now.
And I mean, at first glance, that's a pretty interesting statement. What if we believed every word of the Bible? And you would look at me and you would say, absolutely, I believe the Word of God. You know, I would say, absolutely, I do believe the Word of God. And I started to look into believe and what it even means. How would it affect us? How would it change us? What would happen inside of us if we dove into believe? And I started to search it up. And the first thing I searched was belief. Belief ending in an F, right? Belief. Belief is a noun. It's a word that refers to a person, place, thing, event, substance, or quality, right? It's a belief. We all have a belief in something. We all have a belief in the Word of God. We all have a belief in this, and so we call ourselves Christians. There's different things that would be belief, right? The other thing is that if you take the word belief and you switch a couple letters and you make it believe, it comes up as a verb. Believe. A verb, a word, phrase that describes an action, condition, or experience. See, now I believe that belief and believe are completely different. The belief in something stays in the head. The belief in something stays in the air. To believe as a verb will change your physical condition. Right? I believe in something so much so that it begins to affect my physical person and the physicalness of the things around me. So what would it look like if we believed every word of the Bible? Believing in something, believing in the Bible, do you believe? See, the word believe has 74 synonyms. 74 synonyms, things, words similar that you could connect to the word believe. I want to talk about the first one and probably the strongest one, trust. Trust. It's pretty hard to believe, verb, it's pretty hard to believe in something if you don't trust in it. See, now trust is super interesting. Trust I began to really dive into. Trust is a very big word, and I'm about to explain a little bit about that. And I believe that the world has shifted our perspective on trust a little bit. And I want to explain. But first, to do that, I need a volunteer. So I came over here and I met some of the youth. And to keep you guys awake and from not sleeping, I'm going to call one of you up. Let's do white shirt right here. I just met you. I forgot your name. Come on up, Ian. I'm going to need your help for a little bit. We can stand down here, I think. All right. So, Ian, Darren. Nice to meet you. Absolutely. So, for example, I'm here in Myrtle Creek having a great time. Pastor Shane reaches out to me. He's like, hey, let's go fishing. I'm like, absolutely. Right? So he invites me to go fishing. Okay? I didn't come prepared for that. I came for church today. I got nothing to do fishing. I got my Bible. I got all sorts of things on me. But I'm like, I really want to go fishing. Really do. And so I'm like, Ian, this is my Bible. I'm going to give that to you for a minute. I'm going to go fishing with Pastor Shane. This is the most important thing in my life. This was from my grandfather. He passed away a couple years. It's the only thing of his that I have. It means the world to me. Please take care of it while I go fishing with Pastor Shane.
Got you.
Okay, so he takes that thing, that precious thing. I go off, go fishing with Pastor Shane. We have a great day. I catch a bigger fish. So I'm super excited to go back to Ian after the day of fishing, and I'm going to tell him all about the fish that I caught. And so I run up to Ian, and I'm like, Ian, you won't believe it. My fish was this big. Pastor Shane's was this big. It was super exciting. We had a great day. Meanwhile, while I'm fishing, Ian goes off. He goes out with his girlfriend. He carelessly handles the Bible that I gave him, and so he ends up losing it. Go ahead and lose it. So he loses it. Well, I'm out with Pastor Shane, and I come back, and I'm like, dude, it was awesome. Thank you so much. I'll take my Bible back.
I don't know where your Bible's at.
What?
I think...
Dude, I asked you to take care of it, bro. That's my Bible. I love it. It's everything to me. It's my grandfather. I'm not going to have anything of his. What do you mean?
I don't know. I think I maybe left it in the store.
I get super frustrated with Ian, right? But what happens here in this moment? I lose trust. I lose trust. I trusted Ian with something of incredible value to me. To him, it's just a book. So he kind of just fumbles it. He loses it somewhere. It's not a big deal. But to me, that breaks my heart, and I lose trust in Ian. Right? Thank you. You can sit down. Good job acting, Ian. So I lose a little bit of trust in that moment, do we not? Has anybody ever hurt you? Has anybody ever done something to you? Have you placed your trust in somebody for something and they handled it poorly and you get back and it's gone, or they didn't live up to that expectation, that trust that you placed in them? Has anybody experienced that? A loss of trust, it's something that is actually super deep. I know that we just made up a little story here about a Bible, but let me ask you a super deep question. Have you had a best friend that has lost trust with you? Have you had a spouse that you've lost trust in at times? Have you had a child, a parent? Is there something at work that you've been through that has caused you to lose trust in people or in someone? It's something that can hurt us very deeply. It's something that can hang around with us for a very long time. And so when we lose that trust, it is something that really affects us. And I started to think about that. And I started to picture the Garden of Eden. Imagine being in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walking together with the Lord, having never experienced a moment in which we just demonstrated. Imagine that. They have no idea what it is to break or to lose trust. They're walking in this heavenly trust with God. They're walking in this place, this experience with the Lord. And what does the devil do? He comes in to Eve and he creates distrust. He says, you don't know everything. Why is he keeping things from you? If only you ate this fruit, then you would know all of these things. He begins to create some distrust in her. And so that effect then happens, and then it happens to Adam, and they get cast out of the garden. But imagine before that what it would be like to walk in heavenly trust and experience. And so I believe that that's how we were designed. Amen. I believe that God designed you and I to walk in relationship with Him without ever experiencing that hurt and causing distrust in us. Amen? Amen. What would that be like? What would that cause in us? What would happen around us? But because you and I are humans and we learn by experience for the most part, because that's our experience with other people, we take that trust that I just lost with Ian and I project that onto the Lord. Because that's how I've been taught, because that's what I've learned, I take that and I put that into my relationship with the Lord. Our trust in the Lord, our trust with the Lord, starts to become something that can be lost and gained the same way it is with everybody around us. But our trust, our heavenly trust that we need with the Lord, is not something that we can lose and that we can gain. It was not designed that way. He designed for Him and us, ourselves, to have that experience in the Garden of Eden with Him, having never known what it's like to be hurt and to lose trust in Him. And I'll tell you right now, He has never done anything to cause any of us distrust in Him. Let's just put that there. If there is distrust, if there is a disconnect, it is 100% on our end.
That's right.
He has never, nor will He ever, give any of us a reason to not trust in Him. Right? And so, because this is our experience of trust, and trust is so close to believe, that affects our belief in the Lord. The way that we view trust will change the way that we view the word believe. Do you believe in every word of the Bible? The Word of God is true. It is whole. It is without error. The Word of God is life. And we ought to live every day in that place of believing in the Word of God. I want to read a couple scriptures here as we're talking about all of this. I'm just going to shotgun these. Just going to give them all to you. You can hear some of them. Hear none of them. But we're going to read a couple of them real quick. Isaiah 26, verse 3 to 4 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord your God is an everlasting rock." Trust. Psalms 56, 3 to 4 says, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? And those who know your name," Psalms 9:10, "and those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." So let me just read that again. "For those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." If we take that and we believe that, how does that change the way you live every day? If you believe that, "I put my trust in you, you have not forsaken me." And so in those moments when we feel like He has forsaken us, we stop and we say, "No, no, I do not believe that. Even though I feel that way, if I believe the Word of God, that holds me in the place of belief, of trust. So I'm not going to fall into those feelings. I'm not going to cause some distrust between us. I'm not going to lose out on that, because I know that the Word of God is true and that it's whole and that He will not forsake me. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." And that's it right there, our own understanding. When we lean on that, we're in trouble and we lose that connection, and that distrust begins to creep into our relationship with the Lord. But do we believe in every word? Let it transform your heart and your mind. Let it transform the way we encounter everything around us. I'm going to say it's a lot harder to live out than it is to say. It is a lot harder. It's easy to say, "I believe every word." But when those situations actually present themselves It is a lot harder to stand on that belief. It is a lot harder to let that belief that you have in those words transform your physicalness. You know, I've been working through this for a while now. I've, more than most people, have had to lean into the Lord over the last couple of years in Guatemala. I've had to trust in moments where I can't feed my family. I've had to trust in moments where I don't have diapers for my son. I have to trust in moments where we have nowhere to live. We've been through all of that. And so I, more than most people, I would say, have had a lot of experience growing up in Africa, seeing things that a lot of people never get to see. I've seen moments, people healed, people start dancing, blind eyes open. I've seen all that stuff. But I'm going to tell you, no matter how much you see it, it's still really hard. When the moment comes for you and it's personal for you, it's a lot harder. Amen. You know, and I learned this summer that trust on that level doesn't kick in until all of your options are not there anymore. Option A, there's no trust in that. Think about that. If I know that this is going to happen that way, and I know that this is where my money's coming from, you know, and then it just is, it just happens. There's nothing really inside of you that has to lean on the Lord. You just know. Option B, you had that in mind, feel a little different. Option C comes by, it was still there, it was still an option. And so this summer, I was acting as if I had no options, even though I knew that option Z was still there. And I started to really think about trust. And do I believe every word? Because I got all the way to Z. I got all the way to Z, and I was acting as if I was beyond Z. And the Lord is good and gracious. And so He came through at option Z. I'll say that. It was the last thing that I had in my mind to get us out of that situation that we were in. And it came through. It happened. But I learned a whole lot about how that trust actually doesn't kick in until you have run out of your mental options that you've put into place. Your own understanding. I was at that place. Option Z for me was still my own understanding. The Lord, I don't believe, has taken me outside of A to Z yet. I don't even think so. I think all of those moments of trust have still been within A to Z, all of my own understanding options. You know, there is trust and there is that, like, Lord, You are my provider. But there's always something in our minds still that we can lean on. And so the Lord was gracious to me, and He didn't take me beyond that, because I don't know if I could have handled it in the moment. It was a stressful situation, but I don't know if I could have handled that. And He was gracious enough to come through. But it made me really start to think about that even deeper and say, and I realized for the first time that I, in my own understanding, had all of these options lined up, A to Z, but it was still my own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding, but in the wisdom of the Lord. And so I want to just talk about that. I want to just say to you guys, what in your life is happening right now that is still within your own understanding? Think about that. Like, what are you going through? What are you dealing with? What are the options that you still have, the backups, the safety nets that you've still put in place? And think about that. Am I trusting, or is that my own understanding, right? Think about that. And I want you guys to also consider this statement, do you believe in every word of the Bible? Because it will change us. But with that, you can't say that sentence without also saying it's very hard to believe and trust in something that you don't even know about. You have to open up the Word. Right? You can't stand in the moment of great provision and just say, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, and consider that all of these things that we just talked about. What you need to do is stand in that situation and say, I know that my God is Jehovah Jireh. Right. You have to speak it out. You have to speak the Word of God in those situations. You can't just sit and hope. You have to be physical. You have to do something that activates that transformation in your life. So you have to stand in that place of great need and say, Lord, I believe that You will take care of me, because You said that even the birds of the air don't worry about what they're going to eat, and how much more valuable am I? And so I can stand in full belief, I can stand in full trust right now, knowing that no matter if all my options are gone, I'm still not going to disconnect and let go of what You've told me. So you have to know what it is that you're trying to trust and believe in. You have to know it. You have to get in the Word. You know, the hardest moments of your life and the hardest moments of my life are when I'm the furthest from the Word. Right. I'll go through seasons, even as a missionary, where I'm not in the Word like I need to be. And I look back and I'm like, man, why was that season so hard? It's obvious every time. I wasn't in the Word like I needed to be. I wasn't connected to the source. I wasn't diving in. I wasn't seeking. And so when those moments of temptation, when those moments of hardship came, I had nothing to say because I wasn't putting it in. The Word says that the Bible discerns the thoughts, the intentions of our heart. It separates bone from marrow. It's like a filter. When you place yourself into this, it's going to filter you out. It's going to take all the big things out, and it's only going to leave the fine stuff at the bottom, right? Think about it that way. You know, and the Bible also says that from the heart, the mouth speaks. And so if you're placing yourself through the filter, it's going to leave the fine stuff. When it comes out of your mouth, it's going to do something super powerful. It's going to cross a bridge. It's going to cross a bridge in that moment. What's going to happen is those words that you speak that have the power of life or death, remember, the words that you speak have the power of life or death. You know, what are you speaking over your situation? Are you speaking the life, the word, because you were in it? Or are you just speaking, man, I need this, or man, I need that, or I have no idea where this is going to come from? That's all probably not life. I don't know what's going to happen. That's probably not life. But if you speak, I know where this is coming from. I know because my God said He would provide for me, then that's a life statement. So it's going to cross a bridge and it's going to go from our physical realm into the spiritual realm. And the Lord is going to hear that. He's going to receive it. And He is the only one that can come back from that spiritual realm and affect our physical realm. So then the Lord comes back across the bridge, the spiritual bridge, and He is the one that does the miracle. That lady was healed. It's because she declared with her mouth that the Lord would heal her, crossed the bridge, came back. He physically healed her. So I want to think about that for a minute. Let's just consider people in the Bible who trusted in this way, trusted so much that it affected their physical atmosphere. What about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Think about that. Were they trusting in that moment? Or were they only believing with an F, a noun, that doesn't affect their physicalness? Or did they believe? So when they came up to the fire, they said, no matter if He saves me or not, this is what He said, and so I know that it'll be okay. Right? They activated that trust inside of them, that heavenly trust, and it completely affected their physical atmosphere, and they stepped into that fire, weren't burnt at all. Everybody else around them was dying. They were just sitting in the fire hanging out. Think about, let's say, Daniel in the lion's den. What was the decree? To not pray. To not speak. To not let your heart, after being filtered by the Word, speak life. To not do that. And so he began to stand and say, no, I don't believe in that. And he continued to do what he knew, which is to get on his knees before the Lord and speak life. Because the Word had filtered his heart. And so everything that he was speaking was life. And he was thrown into the lion's den. And because of all of that, because of the life that he spoke, because of everything around him, his physical atmosphere was completely changed. And not a single lion could harm him. I often find that when I'm being harmed by the lions around me, it's because I was not speaking life to begin with. When those lions are eating us up, you know, it's probably because I wasn't speaking enough life or because I didn't know what to say. We have to be equipped, as Pastor Shane just said up here, in every moment, in every instance, to be able to speak the Word of God. Because of everything that we just explained, it crosses the bridge, the Lord comes back, and the Lord affects the physical things around us. And so I want to ask you today, do you believe every word of the Bible? What you're facing right now, do you believe every word of the Bible? Do you know what the Bible says about your situation? If you don't, you need to go home and figure it out. If you're seeking, if you're in huge financial issues, if you're financially in need, you need to go home and start reading up on things and promises that the Lord makes about providing for you so that you can speak those out, so that you can declare the Word of God and trust in that. Think about heavenly trust, the way that I believe we were designed to walk in with the Lord, and let it completely affect the way that you're handling your situation. Do you need to trust the Lord for your kids? Are they far from the Lord? Do you need to trust the Lord for that? That no matter how bad it seems, no matter how far away they get, I know what the Word says. And if you don't, go figure it out. You better. So you can speak life into that situation. You know, all of this helps us trust. Do you need to trust the Lord for your marriage? Do you need to trust the Lord for your work? Do you need to trust the Lord for your home? Do you need to trust the Lord for anything that you're facing, for your health? And I'm going to ask you, are you trusting in the way that I trusted with Ian? An earthly trust that is something that can be gained and lost and taken away? Or do we this morning need to renew our trust and have a heavenly trust? Do we need to believe in the Word of God? I'm going to read out a couple promises. I know it's getting late, but I want to read out a couple promises. God promises to strengthen you. It's a promise. And if we believe it, it will change the way that we live. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He might grant to you and be strengthened with the power through His Spirit in your inner being. Ephesians 3:14-16. The second promise is God promises to give you rest. If you are completely without rest right now, if you're up all night because of those things that you're facing, if they won't let you sleep, you need to declare some rest over yourself. You need to say, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and of a gentle heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden I give you is light. Matthew 11:28-30. God promises to take care of all of your needs. All of your needs. God promises to be there for you. Philippians 4:19 says, all this same and the same God who takes care of me will supply your needs from His glorious riches, whom have been given to us in Christ Jesus. God promises to answer your prayers. Those prayers that you've been praying for a long time. Those prayers that my grandma prayed 60 years ago. Those prayers that never came true in the moment. God promises to answer those. Right. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. God promises to work everything out for your good. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose for them. Romans 8:28. God promised to be with you. God promises to be with you. If you feel like He is not with you, that is a lie, and He promises that He will be with you. And you speak this out when you feel far from the Lord. I will not fail you or abandon you. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:5-9. God promises to protect you. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust Him. He is my God and I trust Him. I trust Him. Renew your mind on what the word trust even means this morning. God promises that nothing can separate you from Him. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And number 10, maybe one of the most important, God promises you everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him, that whoever believes in Him, it's not a belief. It doesn't stay in your mind. It's not something that just floats around. Whoever believes in Him, the verb that changes our physical atmosphere, our physical presence, the way we carry ourselves. That's why the Word says that they will know that you are my disciples from the way that you love each other. That's a physical thing that we do that separates us from the world. Because you believe in Him, you shall not perish but have eternal life. It is something that I've been walking through over the last couple months, over the last year, I would say. It's a journey that I've been on. And it's hard. Every single day, you have to remind yourself of that. You say, do I believe in the Word of God? Because it will affect the way that I live today. Do I know the Word of God so that in that moment, I can speak life? Are we living that way? And what would it look like? What if every Christian in the world all of a sudden began to transform their thinking and their mindset on what trust is? What if every person we knew began to believe the Word of God in a way that it affects their physical being? What if? What would that look like for you? To know that He has got you. He's got you. No matter how hard it is, no matter what it seems like, no matter the outcome, whether it's good or bad, He's got you. I think about Job. Think about Job. No matter what was taken away from him, he stood in that place and he said, I believe the Word of God. No matter what was taken away, no matter what he lost, the kids that he lost, the family, the wealth, everything that was taken away, he did not turn his back on the Lord. Because I believe that he trusted in a heavenly version, in a heavenly way, he trusted the Word of God. He trusted. And so that's my encouragement to you today. That's what I want to challenge you with. That's what I want to bring to the table. I want you to walk out of here thinking that, do I trust? Do I heavenly trust the Lord? Or do I earthly trust? Is my trust with the Lord something that I can declare like less or more of in the same way we do with each other? Am I projecting that trust onto the Lord? Do you believe every word of the Bible? That's a simple phrase. It's the title of my message. It's something that I could think about all day, every day, and honestly might not ever get there. Do you believe every word of the Bible? Do you verb? Do you believe? Do you believe it? Do you believe it in every circumstance, in every moment, in every high place, in every low valley? Do you believe in the Word of God? And you have to remind yourself every day. If I've learned nothing over the last couple of months, other than like it is something that you have to remind yourself of every day, it's easy to maintain it for a week. It's easy to maintain it for a couple of weeks. But like months go by, life gets busy, things happen, we disconnect, we get out of the Word, and it becomes a whole lot harder when we're struggling to believe every word of the Bible. Amen? I'd love to pray for you guys this morning. I would love to just spend some time in that space. If you need to believe a little bit today for something, you know, my wife and I, we'd love to just pray over you. If you need to trust, if you need to renew your trust this morning, we'd love to just pray over you. If you need to come before the Lord and just say, Lord, forgive me. You know, even believing in that He has forgiven you, that's hard. And you hold yourself to that, like, standard. You don't believe the Bible. It says, I have forgiven you and washed you as white as snow. And so we don't think we're worthy. We don't think we can get there. We don't think He hears our prayers because we're not believing in the Word where He says, I have set you free. I've given you new life. You are a new creation. We don't live in that freedom because we don't maybe believe it or trust because of the way that we've been taught. Amen? Somebody would love to play piano. I would love to just jump into a little bit of time of just prayer. Your pastor's here. Your leaders are here. We want to come alongside of you. We want to pray over you. If you need to trust, if you need to believe, if you need to surrender something this morning in that area, we'd love to just take a minute to do that. That's all right.
All right.
Let's pray. God, we love you this morning, Father. We come before your throne, we come before your feet asking for forgiveness, God, that you would forgive us, that you would make your mercies new today, that your mercies would be new in this place, that you would renew inside of our minds the knowledge, the wisdom that we have of the Word of God, that you would restore, Father, a heavenly trust within us. God, that you would make yourself known to us. God, with belief and trust comes surrender, that we surrender our own understanding, that we surrender our own will, that we surrender our own desire, God, and we lean into you. We lay those things down at your feet, the burden that we carry, Lord, so that you can place your burden upon us, which is light and easy to carry. We worship you, God. Lord, you know the needs represented in this place. You know the hearts that are here, Father, the things that people are walking through and struggling with, God. Remind each one of them today that you love them, that you care for their situation, Lord, that you have never let them down, and you never will. that you are holy, that you are mighty, that you are, Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If there is something in your heart this morning in which you need to believe for, I invite you to come up to the front so that we can pray for you. I invite you to stand from your seat, come before the throne and say, Lord, I am sorry for not believing in this. I'm sorry for not trusting in this. Forgive me, God, for walking in my own understanding. Help me to surrender this that I might receive from you, Father, something today. You're welcome here to this place. Come before the throne. Surrender your will. Surrender your desire and receive what God has for you. Lord, we worship you this morning. We need you, Father. We lean into you, God. Lord, we worship you. Forgive us, God, for standing in the dull and empty place in the mindlessness of disconnect from the Word. God, renew our passion to jump into your Word. Renew our passion to seek your face. Renew, Lord, our desire, God, to connect with you every day, Father. That the fountain of life, God, would be something that we open, that we seek for, Lord. Lord, we trust you this morning, God. Renew our trust. Give us heavenly trust this morning, Father. Give us a heavenly trust, God, for the situation that we're facing. Transform our minds and our hearts, God.
Make me new, Lord Jesus.